You're listening to Vulcan Has a Faith, the audio podcast about New Birmingham and the people making a difference. All right, it's another great day in Birmingham. You're listening to Vulcan Has a Faith, and I'm your host, Scott Kitchens. I'm here with Kelly Kitchens. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Scott.
Good. Thank you for being on today again.
Thank you for having me.
This basically is an audio interview of your blog. So how did you come up with the idea about doing an audio version of your blog?
Well, I know that it's quite lengthy, my blog is. I made sure that I made daily entries, and even after that, I made lots of entries. So when I send them to people, they have a hard time reading it and comprehending it in its long form like
okay.
It is.
So audio version they could just listen to.
Yes. With okay. Lyme disease, there's often neurological issues that are involved, and it's hard for people to comprehend reading.
Okay. That makes sense. So just, we've interviewed you before and you've told your story, but briefly, can you talk about how you got Lyme disease?
Yes. It was about 18 years ago now. I was in upstate New York going fishing, and I went off on one of the islands to go to the bathroom, and the tick attached to me at that time.
Oh, so it was from a tick bite.
It was.
So that was back in 2000. You've had it for 18 years now.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us, a little bit about, you went to the doctor.
I did.
You got tested.
I did. I went to the doctor, you mean in the very beginning?
Mm-hmm.
The very beginning, I was actually very lucky, what they say, because I got a bullseye rash. I wouldn't have even gone into the doctor because the tick was the size of a poppy seed. I saw like a little black mark, but I would have never thought it was a tick. But when I did get that rash around it, I was like, there's something going on here. So I went to the doctor, and right away, I lived in Connecticut at the time. He said, you have Lyme disease. He gave me 2 weeks of doxycycline, an antibiotic, and he said that that's all I'll need, and I'll be cured.
Cured, huh?
Yes, that's what he said. I'm like, why do they call it a disease then? And he just started laughing.
Wow. Well, it shows that there's a lot of education that needs to be had by a lot of doctors. Around.
Even still, that was over a decade ago, almost two decades ago. But even in today's medical climate, it's not, they don't teach you about it in medical school, or if they do, it's very basic and outdated information.
Okay. So I know that there's a lot of treatments for Lyme disease. So early on in your career, I guess you would say...
My Lyme career.
So what were some of the early treatments you tried? You tried 2 weeks of doxycycline.
I did the 2 weeks of doxycycline. I went years without treating it because for a few years I was... better. I was tired. But when I got pregnant with my son is when I started really getting problems again with a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
But they, again, attributed it to my pregnancy, not to Lyme disease. But it was a long road. I went to many specialists, many doctors, until I finally found out from a nurse practitioner who told me, I think you have chronic Lyme disease. We need to test you for that. And in fact, they tested me and I still had Lyme disease that never left me. They also found out at the time that I had babesiosis too.
Okay.
Which is a co-infection from the same tick.
Gotcha. Okay, so you got tested positive,
mm-hmm.
Your symptoms were getting worse.
Yes.
What did they do at that point? Did they put you on any other treatments or anything?
Well, most doctors don't treat Lyme disease.
Oh, okay.
They will treat maybe the symptoms of Lyme disease. So most of the doctors, when I actually did find out it was Lyme disease, their general opinion was not to do anything. Because when you have it in its chronic form, the treatment options make you very sick and can kill you too. Mm.
So they're just treating the symptoms.
Right. And I did that for many years.
Many years.
Mm-hmm. Until I decided, you know, I don't want to live like this anymore. I know that they told me that there's no cure for this, but I know there are Lyme doctors out there. So I started to go see actual Lyme specialists.
Yeah. So here in Alabama, Lyme disease isn't as well known as like the Northeast where it all started out.
Correct.
So how many people get Lyme disease a year?
300,000 people, the CDC says.
300,000. So that's, when you say that CDC says, that's just those that are recorded.
Correct.
And the testing is not as accurate.
It's less than 50% accurate, the Lyme disease tests that they give you.
So it's way more than 300,000 people.
I believe so. Mm. But who knows? I mean, a lot of people will not get a Lyme disease diagnosis like I didn't for many years. I got other diagnoses from fibromyalgia, MS, lupus, you name it. I got a lot of diagnoses, but none of them were the right one until that.
Yeah. Okay, so you got Lyme disease in 2000. You've been through all these years of going to different doctors, mm-hmm. different treatments. So what led you to the part of stem cell therapy? What was that defining moment of, yes, this is something I need to do?
Well, I think it was a gradual thing. I was posting for some people on their Facebook pages, medical information articles. I came by stem cell therapy several times. So, of course, I read up on it. But I still wasn't 100% sold on it, so it kind of was just in the back of my mind. I was going to one of the best Lyme disease doctors in the world at the time. I had a PICC line in my arm for the second time. And I just progressively got worse to the point where I was in critical condition. My blood pressures were so low, I should have been in a coma if you were looking at a chart. They would spike up high. I was having life-threatening problems from either being treated again or I was just that far gone.
So it was a life or death situation.
Yes. And after a while, 4 months and $40,000 later, they let me go as a patient.
You go.
They pulled my PICC line. It was the end. I mean, they offered me some pills, but pills never had worked in the past. And she knew that, too. They all knew that.
So life or death situation you're facing, and they pull your PICC line. And mm-hmm. basically,
because they thought I was going to die. And really, I was in critical condition, and I could have at any time.
Yeah. So knowing you, I know you're a fighter. And
I am.
You do not give up for anything. So
no.
After that, what was your next thoughts?
It was the stem cell therapy. And I was on the fence about it. It caused a family, you know, fight kind of. Some of my friends, too, didn't like the idea. But I understood the science made sense to me. I was running out of options, and I was dying. So I went down to Mexico for stem cell at StemAid Institute.
StemAid Institute.
Yes.
Okay. Did you look at any other clinics before StemAid?
I did. I looked very thoroughly at the one in India. I looked at, there's one in Germany as well. Mm-hmm. I didn't consider any of the ones in the United States just because of how they get their stem cells. They're not as effective as the kind that I got. So I had to go out of the country.
Gotcha. Okay, so we're going to talk about your daily schedule of what you did each day at StemAid, and then we're going to follow that up with, I'm going to ask some questions about what is each of these things that you did, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
So on day one, basically what you had was a scan of your body that went through all the conditions you had. It also found something that you didn't know you had.
I know.
Which was mycoplasma.
That's right. And so, that's another co-infection from a tick.
Okay. So on day one, your treatment just consisted of chelation therapy and B17. After that treatment that night, you started having tremors, chills, pain, fatigue, and you got really emotional. Day two, you had more chelation therapy. You started another round of B17, which is also known as Laetril. You had the Photon Genius sauna procedure, and you had a massage. And again, we're going to go through these a little more in depth after the routine here. They also started you on some natural antibacterial and antiviral medicines and supplements, which included cloves, colloidal silver, oil of oregano, elephant tree, and detox tinctures.
Yes.
Some of the symptoms after that second day were it's becoming difficult to write. And, you know, one thing that I want to bring up is before you went down, you decided to do this blog to say if this is going to work or not work.
Yeah, for our community. I was like, I want to find out once and for all, is stem cells our answer or not?
Yeah. So day two, it's already becoming difficult to write. Of course, the last night was difficult, but the second day you started having muscle cramping, an increase of all your Lyme disease symptoms, including herxing, which we'll talk about later. The next day you had vitamin C infusion, your first day of embryonic stem cell therapy, and the Photon Genius sauna again. So that was day three. And after day three of treatment, you started having some neurological issues, increased herxing. And then day four, you started another round of the photon booth, the IV chelation therapy, IV vitamin C treatment, and the B17 treatment again. That night, again, more symptoms. You had shaking. You didn't want to really call them seizures, but there was a lot of shaking, and it wasn't quite as dramatic as a grand mal seizure, but you did have a small version of seizures. You started having fevers and headaches, and I remember specifically one of the worst headaches you've had.
Of my whole life, and it was all in the front of my head. It was intense.
Very intense. So this day four, you know, you're really reaping some of these issues.
Oh, yes, symptoms. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the treat. Anytime you treat Lyme, it's not going to be an easy ride.
It was no walk in the park, was it?
No.
Okay, so the next day you had, again, the photon booth. You had the autohemotherapy treatment, which is ozone treatment is what we
yes.
commonly call it. And then you had another round of embryonic stem cell treatment. The next day you had the photon booth time again. You had the IV chelation, the B17, more embryonic stem cell, and you started something that we commonly call PEMF, which is pulsed electromagnetic field treatment. After that, you had a day off. It was
Sunday. I know. It was nice.
Nice to have a day off, right?
Yes, always.
Okay, so the next day, you had another round of the photon booth, chelation therapy, B17, embryonic stem cell implantation, and rolfing, which was new. It was something I had never heard of personally.
Me neither.
That night, symptoms, you had increased fatigue and pain, but you started to see improvements after that day. Some of the things you noted in the blog was you didn't have to wear sunglasses, which was a key thing.
That was huge for me. It was actually, the morning after my big headache that was in the front of my head, I had a lot of eye problems with Lyme disease, too. I always had to wear sunglasses, even when I was indoors, and it was crazy. But it was gone, completely gone. All the light sensitivity was gone.
It was incredible.
It was.
I mean, that was definitely when you noticed the I would say the turn in your treatment, yes, where you were really dealing those first few days, mm-hmm, with some really bad symptoms.
Even really the first week really was first tough. Week. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into the next day. You had chelation therapy, the B17, and another round of embryonic stem cells. And this is in your blog when you start talk about the symptoms you received. Instead of the symptoms getting worse, you started documenting the things that were getting better.
Yes.
So after that first week, you saw numbness and burning in your hands and feet were gone. Your energy levels had increased. You were more alert with clearer thoughts. Eye sensitivity's gone. You're not dizzy. You can walk around without the help of walls and people.
Yes.
That was incredible.
That was huge. Yes. Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know, you spent a good bit of time, maybe 10 years or so, in bed.
Oh, I was bedridden, yes, for over a decade.
Crazy. And then you were having less pain, and your mood had a swing to the happy side.
Yes.
So, okay, and then the next day, you're seeing all those improvements, continued therapy, and then your treatment the next day started with another round in the photon booth, chelation therapy, B17, embryonic stem cell treatment, and you had another round of the Rolfing. A few more improvements you saw after that day were increased appetite. And one thing I want to bring up here, you ate very little. You were down to, what was your weight?
Well, I'm 5'8", and I got down when I was with the doctor in Washington, D.C. I weighed 112 when he let me go.
5'8 and 112.
Yes.
So your symptoms are getting better. You're seeing increased appetite. Your fevers are totally gone on this day. Your blood pressure has become regulated, which was huge.
That was a huge thing. I had a severe case of POTS, which basically, it made me pass out a lot. It made me dizzy and faint. And it was a big portion of what I suffered with.
Yeah. And also your tachycardia was gone too. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing.
Yes.
Okay, and then we're going on with your treatment here. The next day, you had another round of photon booth, chelation therapy, B17, and you had a plasma and stem cell facial, which we'll talk about that.
Yes.
Very good stuff, and added benefit to having the treatment there.
That's right. I was very happy to get it.
All right, and then after that day, you did see some soreness and exhaustion, but again, nothing like the first week of symptoms you had had. So
that's right.
Good stuff. All right. And then your next to last day of treatment, you had another round in the photon booth. You had your ozone therapy, as we call it. Mm-hmm. And you had your embryonic stem cell treatment. And then the last day, you had your photon booth again, the chelation therapy, the B17 treatment, and the embryonic stem cell treatment.
Yes.
Okay, so that was wrapping up your 2 weeks. Now, yes, when we talk about 2 weeks, you were one of the first people in the Lyme community to go down to this that you had known.
Correct.
Okay, yes. So this was all just trial for you, not knowing really what to expect.
I was like 50-50 going in, like, is this going to work or not?
Yeah. So they had this treatment regimen at the time that was 2 weeks. And the reason I want to bring that up is because now they've increased that.
They have increased the time they treat Lyme disease patients to 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay, so 3 to 4 weeks now. All right, so one thing that they left you with after that last day, you know, you sat down with the doctor again, and she pretty much put you on a diet which include no gluten, no or little dairy, and eating whole foods. It's really more of a natural type of diet with the no gluten.
That's right.
And then also you had some detox tincture, oil of oregano, elephant tree, serrapeptase, silver biotics, and intellect tree seed oil. So these were some more natural treatments to help you go in after the treatment that you had done there.
Correct.
All right. And then also you had a liver cleanse regimen that you had to do, which was supposed to clear the liver of gallstones, improve digestion, allergy improvements, help pain, and increase energy.
Yep.
All right. So that's how it ended up there. So let's talk about some of these things that you had done. We're going to start with the Photon Genius sauna. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I can tell you the first day was no fun. But they turned on, like it was a heater, and then they turned on all the lights. It's kind of like a stand-up tanning booth,
okay,
kind of like that, with all different kinds of lights. But they assist in digestion and elimination, eliminate organs of toxins. It's also helpful for wound healing and cellular regeneration, which we know that's very important. And it also eliminates toxins like metals, chemicals, and chronic infections even.
Okay. I remember the first day you had that. The doctor even mentioned to you that with Lyme disease, you have a severe heat sensitivity.
Yes.
The first day, they had the heat on.
Yes, and I almost passed out. They had to take me down out of there and lay me down for a few minutes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the regimen was like 20 minutes, right?
And you did, was, yes, 20 minutes.
And
yes,
you did about 10, I think I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 10 minutes. And I mean, I was in the room, so it was extremely hot even for me.
Yes, it so was hot.
But after, I mean, just to continue on with that, after that first day with the heat, they did turn off the heat.
They did. They did turn off the heat for me, thankfully.
Yeah, and that made it more manageable for you to get
there. It made it more manageable. It was still no fun, and it was still hot. But I was, you know, willing to do anything to get better, so.
Yeah. So, you know, we like to bring these things up because when you go down, everybody's going to experience different things.
Right.
And the heat is a part of it, but they felt it was okay to turn that off because you just had that sensitivity to,
yes,
it.
Yes. They felt with all the other things they were doing with me that that would be okay.
Okay. So the next thing I want to talk about is the Herxheimer reaction.
Yes.
I wanted you to kind of expand on that a little bit because this is something that anyone with Lyme disease knows what this is.
Or, oh, yes,
if you're starting to get it, I want you to explain what that is so maybe people with just starting out with Lyme know what this is. So
it's basically, it's an exaggeration of symptoms. So everything seems to be getting worse, from neurological to pain, you know, neuropathy, so many things, fatigue.
Okay.
Cognitive issues. I could go on.
Yeah, I got you. So with Lyme disease, there's a lot of different symptoms you get.
There are.
And basically, how does it come about when you start to have one of these reactions? Like, I know in the stem cell therapy, they mentioned when you started these treatments,
yes,
your symptoms would get exaggerated.
That's true. And that's true of basically every Lyme disease treatment. You're going to have a Herxheimer reaction.
All right, and then one thing, you know, we want to talk a little more in depth on is the ozone treatment.
Yes.
So can you
talk
about
that? They actually even do that in the United States, too.
Really?
They
for
do.
Lyme disease or for different things?
For different things.
For different things.
Yes.
Okay, so what is that?
Well, they put two tubes in each of your arms, and one of them, blood is withdrawn from your body into a vacuum, and it runs through the machine. And the blood is mixed with, you know, measured amounts of ozone and oxygen, and they reinfuse it back into your body, the new oxygenated blood. It also increases your efficiency of your antioxidant system, helping eliminating free radicals.
Okay. Well, that's
it's also cool. Able to kill bacteria, viruses, and fungus.
So I guess the way I'm understanding it, it's kind of cleansing your blood
out.
Yes,
it takes all the toxins out, everything.
Now, one thing that I recommend is if somebody can't really read through your blog, at least go look at the pictures and look for the one with the ozone treatment, because you've got a picture where the blood coming out of one arm looked like sewer water.
Oh, my blood looked terrible.
And then the one going in was this beautiful red. It looked like blood.
Yes.
It's crazy. But I would suggest people go and look at those pictures just to see how dramatic that therapy was for you.
It was, yes.
Okay, so getting into the next thing, which I was curious about, was the PEMF, which is Pulse Electromagnetic Field Therapy.
Yes.
So can you briefly describe what that is?
Yes. They help reduce inflammation. It improves circulation, reduces pain, and it helps with your pain, and it addresses underlying causes of the pain in the body, too.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, because if you're taking these treatments that are causing aggravated symptoms, your Herxheimer reaction,
right,
then you need something to try to help with that.
Correct, because you cannot take any pain medicine while you're on the days where you get stem cells. So the stem cells know where to go in your body.
Okay, so I guess if you took the pain medicine, it would kind of dull that, so the stem cells wouldn't be as effective.
Correct.
Okay, well, that makes sense. All right, so the next thing we'll move on to is the Rolfing.
Yes.
Oh, the dreaded Rolfing.
Well, I know what it's supposed to do for you.
What is it supposed to do?
It's supposed to decrease pain, but I had the opposite effect. It increased my pain. It's supposed to improve posture and time, increase flexibility and range of motion, improve coordination, and increase in energy. It's really hard. Someone with Lyme disease, we're kind of like off balance a lot. So Rolfing is good to get you more grounded and centered and stronger.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. I know on the first day you had a massage, so it was just a basic massage. And Rolfing is similar to a massage where they're working with your body. Is that correct?
Yes, where they put you in different positions. And have you hold them and things like that. So it's kind of, it's body work. It's a mild exercise. Yes.
I got you. So, to me, I mean, in layman's terms, because I'm not familiar with all these medical terms and stuff, it was almost reminded me of like going to a chiropractor and getting a readjustment.
Yes.
Through massage.
Yes.
So it's kind of cool, though, but it was definitely one of the things that didn't work the way it was supposed to for you.
I did not respond well to that.
Yeah.
No.
And, you know, everybody deals with medications and treatments differently, so this was just one of the things that didn't work as well with you. Okay, so one thing I was very interested in was the stem cell facial. So
I was so excited about that.
They
do have, they treat a host of things at the StemAid Institute, but one of the things they also do is they have rejuvenation packages for people. So the stem cell facial is, you know, part of that protocol, but since I didn't get my second massage, they gave me the facial instead. Basically, the benefits of getting it is it heals sun damage, wrinkled skin, it stimulates regeneration, so it can become firmer and younger looking skin.
Okay, so it's kind of like anti-aging therapy.
It
I
is.
Would say.
Yes.
Okay, well that's pretty cool. You said that they treat a lot of different things there, so that rejuvenation package is one of those.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about a few of the other treatments that you received, starting with chelation. I had heard of chelation therapy here in the United States. They do that here. But this was part of the Lyme treatment that you had.
It was part of the protocol. It was also done via IV. Basically, it removes toxins, and it removes heavy metals that are in your system as well.
Okay. Well, that's simple enough.
Yes.
I could see where that would be beneficial in a lot of ways. All right. And then the next thing to talk about is the B-17.
Yes.
Which was also called Laetrile. So tell us about that.
Well, that improves your immune system, which we can all use. It regulates blood pressure, which was a huge, huge, huge problem of mine that was fixed. And it also soothes pain.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the blood pressure part, that's pretty common in Lyme disease, right?
I believe it is, yes. A lot of people have POTS. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a problem with regulation.
Okay, and then also, along with the B-17, you had a lot of vitamin C IV treatment.
I did. I never heard of IV vitamin C. I never had it before. But it does absorb better than a pill because it can bypass the digestive system. It accelerates and repairs and regenerates things in your body. It also improves your immune system as well.
Awesome. Okay, so, you know, these are just some of the common things that you had with your treatment regimen down there. So what was your experience like? Now, we're talking Cabo, Mexico.
Yes.
Before going, we've heard of it being a tourist town and all, but tell us a little bit about the clinic specifically. What was your experience
there? The clinic was, like, so wonderful. The staff there, I can't say anything bad about. It was almost like they made, even though it was not the most pleasant experience on some days, they made it a spa-like experience for you, very comfortable. They fed you really good lunches that were very good for you. They just cared a lot about the patients, I think, there.
Yeah.
More than you get here in the United States.
Was the clinic, what was the atmosphere like? Was it, like, clean?
It was very clean, very clean, very nice state-of-the-art place.
Okay. One disclaimer I want to give is you do not get paid by StemAid.
No, I do not.
For referrals or recommendations or anything like this. One thing you told me in the very beginning is you were going to do this blog, whether it turned out for good or for bad.
Correct.
Because there's such a problem in the Lyme community, you were looking for answers for yourself and wanted to pass those along.
Absolutely.
All right, so the stem cell clinic, you talked about the staff and the actual clinic itself. So what was preparation for the trip like? I mean, you had to stay at a hotel.
I did. I made sure I got one that had a kitchen in it as well as a washer and dryer. So that helped out a lot.
So everything was kind of self-sustained. It's like almost like being at home. You had your washer,
correct,
dryer, your kitchenette. I remember there was a Walmart and another grocery store with them. I say walking distance. It was pretty close.
Yes, very close.
But there was transportation available.
There was. The staff from the clinic will pick you up from your hotel, from your airport, take you to your hotel or resort. They pick you up for your appointments. They drop you off. It's another nice perk.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes.
Very good. And, you know, people deal with Lyme, you think about, like in your case, you were chronic late-stage Lyme disease.
Yes.
And if you had to have gone down by yourself, you needed that help with the driver that would pick you up and take you to the clinic.
Right.
Because that's a lot of the decisions people have to make that go down there is, do I take somebody with me or not?
Right. It's always recommended to take somebody with you, but that's not realistic in all cases. The benefits of bringing someone down there is because it's not an easy process, and to go through it totally alone would be tough, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And another thing that a lot of people ask you and get questions for is the cost. And one thing I want to say before you get into that is you went down in the fall of 2016.
Correct.
And you were set up for 2 weeks of treatment.
Yes.
And I remember you said earlier you spent $40,000 in 4 months in Washington, D.C.
I did.
So what was the cost like for
it was trip? $15,500. That included all the supplements, tinctures, IVs, stem cells, lunches, them picking you up and dropping you off.
Okay, so $15,500 for the treatment portion, the driver and lunches and things of that nature. So the only out of treatment expenses you had basically were like your hotel.
My flight.
Your flight, the food and things like that.
Correct.
Okay, so that makes sense. So, you know, for people going down, we want everyone to know that your first week you did deal with some pretty tough symptoms and all, and
definitely,
you had a day off, which actually started your uphill swing, and you were actually able to get out and enjoy some of the sights.
I was, yes. It was very nice. I did not ever think that I would be able to go out and enjoy Cabo and go into the city and just have fun.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised because I've never been to Mexico before, but I was surprised how Americanized.
It's a very Americanized city.
Yeah. So, you know, again, I know you had a really good experience there.
And I did.
Let's see, it's been almost 2 years since you've had your treatment. So how are you feeling today?
I feel great. I can't complain. I am living a life again now. I'm out of bed. I'm introducing exercise back into my daily regimen. And I'm just helping people. And I'm able to do that now.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, STEM aid, and again, I mean, you're not paid to say of this stuff, but you know, I know when we were there, we saw people being treated for other things there.
Correct.
There was a guy there that had some type of lung condition.
He did.
There was someone with a heart condition.
Yes.
And then there was a poor little girl that I remember.
Oh, yes.
That was really stowed up and couldn't talk. Mm-hmm. And all three of those people that you spent a lot of time with.
Yes.
It's just incredible the transformation that they saw.
Yeah, they had improvements as well. I mean, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah. So, you know, again, we want to thank the people at STEMAID for a great experience.
Yes.
And working to help people with Lyme disease who, in this country, there's just not as many options.
And not a lot of good options. Yeah, no, there's not.
So catching Lyme disease early is important. To try to get the right amount of doxycycline or antibiotic treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people do have some success early on with natural treatments and other things. But, you know, we would recommend not just taking Kelly's word for it, but do your research, look up STEMAID, look up other clinics, and find out, you know, the true definition of stem cell therapy. Because Kelly mentioned in this country, the stem cell therapy is different than what they do there is embryonic stem cell, which I think is important to bring up in this interview. It's, it's actually the eggs that are fertilized for 5 days, and the treatment comes from that. It comes from a petri dish.
Yes, it does.
Because, you know, we had a lot of talk going in this about the moral aspect of
correct.
It. And is this aborted children?
Right. Yeah, you think, when you hear embryonic stem cells, you're like, oh, no, baby killers.
Yeah.
But it's not like that at all.
Yeah. So, you know, it's important to bring that up. And everybody has to make their own decision on
that's
their
right.
types of treatment and what they want to do. So, you know, I just respect you for doing your research and finding out the best treatment and talking about that moral side of things. And is this something that really you should do?
Right.
So, well, again, thank you for doing this interview because I know it's going to help a lot of people out there that maybe can't read your blog.
Correct. I hope so.
So after listening to the audio, we do recommend going to look at the blog because there's a lot of good pictures there. There's more detailed information that may allow you to follow a little bit better.
Correct.
So, all right. Well, we look forward to more updates with your continued I guess, well-being. And
thank you.
Thanks again.
I'm excited. Living life again.
Absolutely.
Not living the lime life anymore. Just the life.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Kelly, so much.
Thank you.
Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Vulcan Has a Fade. Subscribe to our podcast.